It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
It's definitely going to be different not having those matchups that you would expect every year.
Because the NHL drafts, like, 17-year-olds. The NHL has to tread the water really carefully. Like, they don't even have a goalie. Like, what is the draw? But going into this year because of the Seattle Kraken's expansion draft. But,
where is this going?
Listen, hear me out. It's going somewhere.
It's just not part of hockey. Like,
really looks like that weird dad I don't want me to pick up from school. Like,
welcome to Slapshot Sweethearts.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to Slapshot Sweethearts. You know me, I'm Meg, and you know that her, she's Shannon. Today, we have Adam joining us, Director of Publications and Digital Content for the Anaheim Ducks. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Happy
Super
to be here.
Good to have you.
Yeah, that's great.
We love to give our viewers different perspective on the sport of, like, all the different sides. So excited to hear from your side. So let's, I guess, start from the beginning. How did you get to this job? So I know you worked in golf before and then made the pivot here.
Right. First of all, I will apologize in advance if my dog barks during this. But it's not any commentary on whatever I'm saying. It's just random. But it's been in September, it'll be 16 years that I've been with the Ducks. And it's been a great ride. I did originally work in the golf industry. I worked for 9 years up in Monterey for the Northern California Golf Association. But I grew up down here and always wanted to come back here, and kind of things fell into place. And it's a long story of how I got the job with the Ducks. But I always, whenever I'm talking to college students or people looking to get into sports, I sort of tell my story, because ages ago, even before the internet, if you can imagine such a time, I worked as an intern for what was called the California Angels. Now they're the Los Angeles Angels, or whatever we're calling them these days. And the guy that I worked for just one summer for free, by the way, was still there when I was applying for the job with the Ducks. And I hit him up and asked for him to put in a good word. He knew the guys that were hiring. And we always talk about networking. And that was a huge key for me to get the job with the Ducks. That's the short version of the story. The long one, we'd be here a while. But like I said, 16 years. It was September of 2005. That first season, we went to the Western Conference Final. The very next season, we won the Stanley Cup. So there was kind of the feeling, and a lot of us started at that around that same time, because it was coming out of the first NHL lockout. There was sort of that feeling that, we're going to do this every year. Needless to say, it's been our only cup. And the last couple seasons, we've been a little further from a second cup than we've ever been in my personal career. But hoping to get back to that. And we feel like there's some positives on the horizon for this team. But yeah, it's been a great, I can't believe it's been 16 years. It's gone by so quickly, but it's been really fantastic.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, saying with one. So are you a Ducks fan, I guess? So, like, with 16 years.
No, not really. No, I'm kidding. Yes. Big Ducks fan. And I grew up in Orange County. And in fairness, I wasn't down here when the team was founded in 93. I was in college at Fresno State, which is the Harvard of the San Joaquin Valley, which nobody calls it that. I was up there and then moved to Northern California after that. So I wasn't here when the team was founded. I grew up on every other Southern California sports team, and I didn't go to many Kings games, but that was the only team here. But my dad went to, Ducks games in the very beginning, and it was a weird adjustment. It was very Disney-fied back then, and they had a lot of sideshows going on in the arena. When I got hired, it was just after the Samuelis bought the team from Disney and sort of changed, a lot of the nature of the look, the uniforms. And, of course, we've had some nice flashbacks to, with certain jerseys to our roots. But That's the long answer to the short question, which is yes, I'm a huge Ducks fan, and just like all the other fans, it means a little bit. I wouldn't say it means more to me because I work for the team. Certainly, my job is affected by the wins and losses more than your average fan, but in many, many ways, I'm a huge fan of the team.
Yeah, so that's a great segue, actually. You know, your job definitely ebbs and flows as the team ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
What does the day-to-day look like for you in your role with publications and digital content?
Yeah, so in that role, I oversee the publications part is mostly our game program and then a handful of books that I've done over the years. So we had our 25th anniversary a couple seasons ago, and I put together some books on the team history. And then I've done books on the three guys that we have, whose numbers we have retired in the Raptors, Solani, Niedermeyer, and Kuria. So that's the publication side. The digital content side is more heavy day to day for me. And that's overseeing website, social media, mobile app, et cetera. And yeah, that's an area, like a lot of areas in our organization, that's heavily affected by fan sentiment, which in turn is affected by team performance. So you know, the really cool thing about working, and I'll focus on the social media side. The really cool thing is we feel myself and the small staff that I oversee, we feel a direct connection to the fans and to a large swath of fans in the hundreds of thousands into the millions of fans all across the globe. That's really great. That can be more difficult when the team's struggling and the fans are frustrated. But you know, that those ebbs and flows and those highs and lows are part of what makes the job, you know, really cool and unique. And when you're talking day to day, different day to day. So,
yeah, I have to ask about TikTok, which has clearly taken over our country in the last year.
Right.
But you guys like haven't leaned into it as much as other teams. Is TikTok just like the bane of your existence? Cause it is for us.
No. No, absolutely not. It is an area that we want to delve into and have taken very small baby steps so far. There was a feeling that our first venture into it, we wanted to use our mascot as sort of our first steps in it. It seems like a natural fit with dancing and everything else. We've done a few things. My digital content producer, Tyler Pistoia, who oversees or handles all of our social media, at least hands-on. I guess I oversee it, and he's the go-to on everything. He's started to dip into TikTok just a little bit, and he's I won't say former goalie. He's still a beer league, men's league goalie. And so he's wanted to do some stuff involving goalies on our TikTok. So, breaking down the fourth wall, or however you say the expression, he's the guy behind the mask on some of the TikTok videos we've done with goalie doing impressions of different goalies around the league. So he's getting a kick out of it. We're getting good kind of engagement on those TikTok posts so far, and it's something that we do want to get into more. It's a very different audience. Some people think that all social media is all the same audience. It's a very different audience and demographic. So it is something that we want to get into, but we've been a little bit sporadic and slow getting into it so far, but it's something we hope to keep doing.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, the use of social media and how much you had to lean into it very much changed in the last year and a half with COVID-19. So how did that really, you know, whether it be how the team was leveraging it or how you guys had to leverage it with the fans, how did that kind of change your day to day?
It made things a lot busier. It was a really interesting time in a billion ways for everybody. For us, it was really, really interesting because, you know, we had to start getting used to obviously not from working from home and not going into the office. And it was right around the start of the off season, which could be for a sports team a slower time. But and by the way, that off season came sooner than we thought because of COVID. But for us, it was like incredibly busy, and it was kind of the reality. And I enjoyed this, but it was the reality that like we're not connecting with our fans at all in any other way but through social media. Pretty much, it was like we can't talk to them at the arena. There's no games. We can't talk to them through the broadcasts of our games because there's no games. You know, in a lot of different ways. Obviously, we do email marketing and all that sort of thing, but social media continued to be, and there was further emphasis on it, especially for our sponsors and our partners and that type of thing, on communicating with fans through our social media platform. So that's and then we had to find new and unique ways to do that. It seems so long ago, but we started, you know, we started trying to come up with as much content as we could. And one of the things we did was we had fans send in videos of their kids playing hockey around the house or in the street or in the driveway. And we had our radio announcer, Steve Carroll, do play-by-play over those videos. And then I mixed them together. Yeah, and we put them out. And the fans really, really liked it. Some of the videos were short. And, you know, it wasn't high-quality 4K HD video by any means. And Steve had fun with, you know, I would text him a video. And then I'd sometimes give him a script or I'd say, you know, describe it the way you want. Then he'd text me back a sound clip and I'd mix them together and sometimes mix in some fake crowd noise, which fake crowd noise was a reality for real hockey games, as we know, ultimately. But so it was fun. We tried to come up with as much new content as we could. A lot of it, you know, generated by our fans and followers. But it was, you know, in so many ways I could go on for a while, but it was a really interesting time.
Yeah. And I mean, COVID hit so fast. Like,
yeah.
How did that like transition? I feel like that like very quick pivot of we can't stick with what we were doing. Our season's over.
Yeah.
Where do we go? Like, how fast did that new strategy have to come
in? Yeah. It seems so long ago. It's almost hard to remember, but it was really quick. And then, you know, personal, you know, it was really quick on, you know, what's our strategy here now? And, you know, if you guys remember, there wasn't really the thought of, you know, this thing's going to go away in a couple of weeks. You know, I don't want to talk too much about COVID. Certainly it's not the most fun topic in the world, but there was a thought like it'll be business as usual, you know, really soon. Okay. Our season might be over in this new playoff format, but you know, we figured we'd be right back at it in September, October, like every season. And so we had to pivot really quickly. And then from a personal or personnel standpoint, it was, we have to learn how to communicate each other on, you know, not in person and, you know, using outlets like this, for example. So, you know, I think we've gotten used to it. A year and a half later, people are still on mute when they don't realize they are. but that's just the personnel and you know, the working, the Ducks employee side of things. But yeah, it was a really quick pivot and a word we've used way too many times. And it always makes me think of Ross Geller trying to move his couch up the stairs. When people use that word in a meeting, I still can't get past that. But yeah, it was a very quick adjustment, and you know, sort of one of those things that brings a little excitement to the job, I guess, if that's the right word for it.
Yeah, and since you brought up, you know, obviously not just professional hockey, but most roles had to shift in COVID. What does your team look like for producing content? Obviously, you oversee it, but what is from the digital content perspective? How does that kind of organizational tree go down to like, you know?
So my department is one of the smaller ones in our organization and one of the smaller ones in the league. We only have three guys, including me, and one of them, unfortunately. We had to furlough way back, and he has since taken another job. So I'm currently filling that third position, which is a digital content producer position. So, I will say, yeah, there you go. I will say that yes, on paper, my department is only three people, but in reality, we work with so many more in other departments, and that sort of increases things. So we work with marketing on an extremely consistent basis. We work with our PR people on a constant basis. Our game entertainment guys, who are the guys who produce all the video features that you see, the longer form ones, the shorter ones, you know, we don't necessarily use them for like a post-game interview or something like that. But they're the guys behind all of the videos that you'll see on our platforms and, of course, in Arena. You know, our sponsorship people we work with constantly. So yes, my department itself is fairly small, but the cool thing that I always say about my department and my side of things is we probably work, aside from HR maybe, we work with more other departments in the organization than probably any department does. So that's kind of a cool thing. It's very collaborative sort of atmosphere.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I was picturing like 50 people. So it's interesting to know that.
Not in my department, but yeah. Well, We want it to look like 50 people are behind that. But it's always funny when I'm watching a TV show and they roll the credits and I'm like, it takes 120 people to do a Curb Your Enthusiasm? Why?
Oh, yeah.
It's always amazing. So we want it to look like, you know, there's a lot of people behind the scenes, but really it's just us three. And like I said, working with several dozen others at all times.
Yeah, with so much going on right now, obviously we just had the expansion draft and now we have the entry draft literally tonight from when we're filming.
Yes.
But so what does that like preparation look like for you guys? Because obviously content's going out.
Yeah.
As soon as calls are made, like what is that?
I'm on Twitter for an hour every time I open it. There's so much.
Yeah. It's kind of a fun time. The expansion draft is not a fun time for every team other than Seattle
and Vegas.
And then Vegas 3 years ago or whatever it was. Because it's really all about you're going to lose a guy. And so our preparation for that wasn't huge other than, okay, when do we get this list of guys that we're protecting and guys that we're not protecting? And then the speculation goes out. And you know, sort of a behind the scenes thing, I forgot to mention, by the way, most importantly, that we work constantly with our graphics people, our graphic design people. And I think I owe, our graphic design department is actually a little shorthanded right now too. And I think I owe one of our graphic designers a bottle of something because he has been killing it for us. And by the way, we're not the only ones he works for. So he's putting together graphics, getting ready for, you know, we kind of watched for the expansion draft, and I'll get into the regular draft in a second. We kind of watched the speculation of who could get picked. And so we prepare graphics for a couple of players, you know, so that we can put out a thank you graphic at the end. And it turned out to be a player, Hayden Fleury, that hadn't been with us for very long. Still a really tough loss as far as a young defenseman goes. And then as far as the draft goes, like just a ton of preparation, especially from a graphic side, social media side. We've been, our angle going into this has been, we want to show our fans, A, we're going to get a really good player at the number three pick. And B, we have a really strong recent history of drafting that all lend into, hey, this team's on the rise and young players coming in. And so that's been our focus is let's focus on the history of our draft, our recent drafting with some infographics and some, you know, featuring the guys that are in our organization that, you know, may have been a rookie last year or second, third year and are up and coming. And B, let's focus on, we had a list of nine prospects that could be available when we picked third. So we put together graphics on those guys. We from the league, we were able to get highlight packages of those guys. And we featured, you know, them on Twitter and other platforms as we lead into the draft. So a ton of preparation as we go into today, which I'm looking at the clock. We're a couple hours away. I don't know if I'm supposed to give away what time it is when we're doing this. But the draft hasn't happened yet. We could do nine takes of me talking about the guy we just picked if you guys are putting this out after the draft. Like I said, a couple hours, I'm actually heading over to Honda Center in a little bit because we have sort of a draft party sort of thing. We have our select a seat for our season ticket holders going on at the same time as the draft's going on. So it's kind of an event at Honda Center. So all the preparation leads up into that. And then there's preparation to be ready for when we make that pick. And whoever that ends up being, we obviously want to splash that across all our platforms and celebrate the new guy. And so, a lot goes into it leading up to it.
So in terms of, you said prior, shifting back a little bit, that social media is all different, the demographics are different for each one. What kind of research, if that falls under your department, do you guys do to kind of plan that marketing? Obviously, Twitter is very different than Facebook and who's
viewing
what you guys are posting.
Yeah.
Beast.
it's really interesting. Did you say what kind of research do we do?
I know we struggle to get follow. If, you know, we'll post one thing on Facebook and it'll get 2 likes and we'll post it on Twitter and it'll get 200. It's very
It's really tough to tell. You know, it's the research that we do, like obviously we have an analytics department in the organization that does, and we do a lot of things on our own too. It's very interesting how different the audiences are. Like we'll put something out on Twitter. There's been, you know, in addition to COVID over the last year or so, there's been a lot of social justice issues that, you know, where sports teams have to decide, do we want to get involved in this or do we stay away? And, you know, we obviously want to get involved when it's appropriate. And sometimes, you know, the league is encouraging teams to get involved. And you'll put something out and I'll hear from somebody a little higher up, wow, the reaction to that wasn't good. And I'll look on Twitter. I'm like, no, it seemed fine. And he's like, check Instagram. You know? And I'm like, oh, I hadn't checked Instagram in a little while. Oh, my God, that unraveled and got out of control. It's funny how the different platforms draw different reactions, or some platforms draw very little reaction.
Right.
So our biggest thing is, like, we're not necessarily studying. I mean, we are, but we're not necessarily overly studying analytics or demographics or how did males over 35 react to this. But we're really just studying the actual, you know, the actual reaction and of our fans, or if it's someone who's just trolling for trolling's sake, because, you know, our engagement with those followers is extremely important to us, and we're very curious about how they're reacting to certain things. So, you know, it's almost anecdotal rather than statistical that we're really studying. Like, that post wasn't really great. We're definitely looking at things like shares and likes and replies and all of that stuff. But we're also getting deeper and saying, well, what was the reply? You know, a Donald Trump tweet could have 8 million replies and they're all negative, you know, and it doesn't mean it was a popular tweet. It just means it generated something. Bad example, by the way, because I believe he's not on Twitter anymore, but I can't be certain. Yep. But yeah, that's really what we're studying, is the kind of reaction to certain things. And it does, you know, it does influence what we'll post, you know, in the future. And you know, I just to elaborate a little more, you know, when the team's going bad and we'll post something pretty innocuous and the reply will be something negative about just win some games or something. And then we're like, geez, should we just not post anything at all? Because, you know, and that's, of course, not the answer.
Right. It's like when you're getting blown out 10 to nothing. And it's like, do we take
four? Like, right. Well, yeah. And you're right. Like, mid game. And that's a credit to Tyler, who I mentioned earlier about, you know, sometimes we'll, you know, you have to kind of read the room is a popular expression. And sometimes when we give up a goal, we'll put out a funny gif of somebody looking disappointed. But when that's the goal that makes it a 5-0 deficit, it's like, let's not mess around with the goofy gifs on this one. You know, this is not
let's
funny.
Not poke the bear.
Yeah, well, it's not funny anymore. So you are making those decisions on a day-to-day basis, but we're also making those decisions on a minute-to-minute basis when it comes to, like, you know, in the middle of a game. So it definitely influences what we do.
Yeah. So after this feels like forever of change and away from everyone, this season looks like it's set to be fairly normal.
Yeah.
If things go right.
Knock on wood.
What are you most looking forward to for next season?
Well, you know, so I don't want to, you know, get ahead of myself, because we all read the news and we're like, is this coming back? You know, so as of now, and we just put out our schedule yesterday, we are set for full arenas. And if that is the case, you know, the thing I'm most looking forward to is full arenas, because it was rough. And the players will say the same thing. You know, people don't think the players care about hearing the crowd noise or are influenced by loud crowds or cheering and booing and what have you, but they really are. And they talked about it a lot. It was very weird playing in empty arenas. And then our last 5 home games of the year, we were able to have, you know, a limited capacity, I think around 1,700, which was 10% of our capacity. And that was certainly better. And 1,700 sounded louder than I anticipated. But man, do you miss it? You miss it. And it's very, very strange, you know, even with our fake crowd noise and some other things. It was very strange, you know, watching games or working games in empty arenas. So the biggest thing I'm looking forward to is just, you know, I feel like I remember thinking, like, the next time we score a goal and I hear a crowd roar, I might get emotional, you know, like, I might break down, because it was so weird not having it there. And I've experienced so many unbelievable moments in our arena, Honda Center, over the years, that are all based on, you know, a huge crowd reaction. you know? And so that's the biggest thing that, you know, knock on wood again, but that's the biggest thing I'll be looking forward to when we get back to it in the fall.
Yeah. Well, wishing all the best to the Ducks this season. You're very excited to see what you guys are putting out there in the off season with so much going on, especially tonight, the next few weeks. So, but thank you for taking the time to talk with us today. We were so excited to hear this side of the sport.
Yeah, thank you. I really enjoyed it. And let's hope we have a great draft tonight.
Yeah, totally. Let everyone know where they can find you on social.
Oh, well, first of all, I'll say at Anaheim Ducks. We I'm at Adam J, just the initial J Brady. The at Adam Brady was taken from some guy in Ireland when I signed up for Twitter. So I had to go with my middle initial, but it's at Adam J Brady on Twitter. So, and Instagram as well.
Amazing.
Yeah. I'm not great on Instagram. You'll probably only find pictures of my puppy on there, but I do what I can.
I love dog content over here. When our dogs are in our lives, it's
right.
I was exactly. Actually just holding him so he wouldn't jump in.
Perfect. So. You couldn't tell.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Adam.
Thank you. Thank you to both of you. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Yeah. Anytime. We'll catch everyone another time. If you have not already, make sure you follow us on social, @SweetheartsPod on Twitter, @SlapshotSweethearts Instagram. You know where to find us.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.